never filtered, always fun.
Someone just tweeted me, Ryan McDonald. Does Lupul just want access to the alumni box? Hashtag chicken pesto.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
So every once in a while, we kick off the show with a text message or an email.
Yes.
Because what happens is I get in here at 4. We all walk in the studio. Mm-hmm. Scotty Mac walks out. We walk in. And I open up email. I jump on Twitter. I get sorted. I get ready for the show. And we have a community email and texting inbox that we all use here at 1050.
Mm-hmm.
So occasionally, before we get on, I'll check just to see if anyone had written us throughout the day.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes someone will just send an email at like 10 in the morning, like, hey, was listening to Overdrive.
On the podcast or yesterday.
On the podcast or whatever, and I finally found time to send in an email. Tony Luongo sent us a text.
Yes,
he did. Anthony Luongo. He said, hey, guys, love the show. My name is Anthony from Toronto. I just wanted to quickly sort something out for you, referring to O's suit color yesterday. I believe the color you were looking for was Kelly Green.
Wow.
Kelly Green was the suit you were wearing yesterday. So, thank you, Anthony, and I'm glad you brought that up, because did you see Randy Moss on Monday Night Football last night?
He had the green?
He was rocking a Kelly Green suit himself.
I didn't think it was the same green as O's, though.
It was around the same ballpark.
I've never felt worse on television. I was with Dave Poulin and Gino Retta, and they both had like really nice blue slash kind of gray suits on, and I looked like a person off of Sesame Street.
You looked like a big cartoon character.
He like did. What is it? The Cookie Monster? The green guy?
No? You're thinking Oscar the Grouch.
Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah, I just felt like Sesame Street character.
It kind of had a car freshener vibe to it.
It did.
The suit, but I said I supported it. I liked it. And 100%. If you were ahead of Randy Moss generally is looking pretty sharp on Monday
on
Night
point.
Football.
He's on point, and I
you
will
got
say
there
this.
First.
Takes balls to do it. I couldn't have pulled it off. You pulled it off.
I don't know. It's
aggressive.
It's aggressive, and it's the jury's still out, and I got to try a Leaf game with it, and then that's the test.
Yeah. That's the bigger audience, right?
And I hope the Leaf game I do try it with is better than the one that I watched last night.
It wasn't that fun last night.
Are you jumping to any conclusions based on that game last night?
Stop it. People are, though. I mean, the goaltender problems, all of this. Like, McElhinney wasn't good. Sparks wasn't any good. There was probably four guys that jumped out for me last night on the positive side. Obviously, Matthews and Nylander, I thought, were dominant.
That Nylander is good, man.
Yeah.
He is good, and he is going to be looking for cash, isn't he?
If those two play together all season on the same line, it's going to be dangerous. I don't care what you think about Zach Hyman. I don't care if you want to see Patrick Marleau. It doesn't matter.
You watch Zach Hyman, and
he's
people, this is such a pull. Such a polarized, but he makes little plays where there was a play in front of the net right at the beginning of the second period where he fended off a guy, he protected the puck, and William Nylander darted toward the net, and he just left it for Nylander. I'm like, that's a guy doing his job. He's not a skill guy, and he's making things happen out there.
I agree, but I still believe that he's going to play himself out. He was stupid last night, and he took penalties where he's got to adjust, and I get it, but there's a difference between being aggressive and being stupid, and I thought he crossed that line last night.
I think, though, when you're talking about the preseason,
I agree.
You're,
he just signed a long-term deal. He's got a little chip on his shoulder.
A little bit of a chip on your shoulder. And you're also, you guys would know this better than I would, but even from my limited junior preseason experience, you've got your head on a swivel in the preseason because there are idiots on the ice.
Yes.
There are guys who are like, I have one game and I'm going to do something crazy.
It's not that. It's not 1985.
It's not like it used to be, but there still are some guys who are there and they're trying to make an impact.
There's usually one mutant kicking around. But last night, I just, the whole body of work of Zach Hyman, I like. Like, because to your point, I think he does little things. I think he works really hard. But I believe when that line really ramps it up, like I'm talking this year, I believe they're capable of ramping up, but I'm talking dominant line in the league a year from now. I don't know if he's going to be the guy. I really, personally, I don't know. I don't know who it will be. And I think he's got great chemistry, and it could be like a Crosby, Dupuis, Kunitz type of thing. But I just, something 100% doesn't jive with me at that position when I see them in the finals. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
and I hope I am.
I don't think you're alone in that. I mean, listen, what Zach Hyman is has been determined. Like, there's no ceiling on Zach Hyman. I don't see it. I don't see more there for him to develop into in terms of offensive ability. He's a guy that works incredibly hard every shift. He's a grinder. He checks. He goes to the front of the net. He pisses the opposition off. He's a very good penalty killer. When the puck is on his stick, you want it to get off his stick. And I don't picture that changing at any point in his career. I don't see 3-4 years down the road, the guy sneaks in 25. And you're like, wow, that was a crazy year from Zach Hyman. I don't see that. So if you're talking about your two most dynamic offensive players, or two of your three most dynamic players up front, being connected to him forever, I can't picture that. But ultimately, it's a moot point because the Leafs clearly support him.
Well,
just gave him 4 years, and Babcock supports him.
That's right. Yeah. And he supports him playing there.
So if Babcock wants it to happen, that's what's going to happen. But I would like to see Connor Brown get a chance there at some point. I would like to see Patrick Marleau, just out of curiosity. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that you could potentially... I think Komarov has more offensive ability than a guy like Hyman. And if you're looking for someone who will go in and check and be the first guy in on a forecheck and be sound defensively... Komarov has those abilities as well.
Hyman's just a better skater, though. Hyman can actually get there. He's quick. He's quick.
He's tough to play. But Komarov has better hands.
Yes.
Like he has more abilities to kind of do things in and around the net when he's got the puck on his stick.
Better instincts, for sure. It's just I don't want to take anything away from him. I just was thinking to myself last night, when you think of the best lines in the league, like, yeah, there is a guy who maybe you think, does he fit there, or does he fit there because of the other two he plays with?
Well, but you also, I mean, I think it's important not to nitpick. Like, if you're talking about that line, the line is Matthews and Nylander. Yeah, whoever the third guy is always going to be that guy who's also on the line.
Right.
Like, the truth is, look at Edmonton. Like, do you think Patrick Maroon is all of a sudden some superstar? No, he was in the right place at the right time.
Whoever played with the Sedins.
Whoever played with the Sedins was just going to be that guy who could chip in a little bit.
I agree.
And stay out of their way, get them the puck, and move on. And I think Matthews and Nylander are so abundantly talented that as long as a guy can do some dirty work and know his role, that line's going to be in a good position. So I'm with you. I mean, I don't. Who cares what happens in the preseason? Just don't get injured. That's all I could think of in the third period when Matthews and Nylander were playing with 2-3 minutes left. I'm like, put them on the bench.
Yeah,
don't play them anymore. Like, look what happened to Colin White. Yeah. Late in the game, he blocks a shot. He's out 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, and that's a kid
just looking to start up and get his career going.
And he's a good young player too. I thought to myself, like, that sucks because you're right. It's a nothing game. The score. I mean, it's just that at that point. But you can't
bubble wrap
like that,
guys.
You can't dial it back.
You still have to play the game. I understand it, but I would be more selective with my high end guys.
Absolutely,
like my locks, my top end guys. Go out there. Like, who needs to see them even play again? I know they will. They're going
to
get some minutes.
Back, but yeah,
but it's like what we talk about every preseason in the NFL. Give Brady a quarter of action in the 4 preseason games, and I'll see you opening night.
Yeah,
I don't. What are you really going to gain?
I think a lot of it is just timing and that. Like, to me, the couple guys that we just talked about didn't look like they missed a beat. Like, they looked mid-season form. Other guys looked like they were struggling to handle the puck. Systems look really loose. And that's what preseason hockey is. For veteran guys, it's survival. For young guys, they're trying to make an impression.
Yeah, but I'm sure that everybody in the lineup, whether veteran guys or young guys, they heard Babs' presser last night after the game, and they're like, okay, maybe I'll try a little bit harder tonight than I originally planned on. Because the last thing you want is just a negative vibe. I don't care what time of the year it is. In pro sports, you want to get rid of it right away.
Well, yeah. Let's hear what he had to say. This is just a piece of it, but so this guy's already in midseason form in terms of melting down postgame.
Well, I think the big message to you is, you know, you come out of 3 days of camp, you think everything went real good, but that's supposed to show you as a head coach in the NHL, you should just live scared every day and make sure, because the disaster is coming next. That's how it works.
It's the first preseason game.
But
live scared every day because a disaster is coming.
But do you think that's how he coaches? Doesn't take his foot off the gas. Daryl Sutter was like that. Joel Quenneville's like that. The great coaches are like that. They're always expecting more. It's funny, he didn't really hand out a lot of praise to Matthews and Nylander either.
No, he was like, I expect
chuckled about that. I'm like,
to be better in their own end. It's like their possession numbers were off the chart. Yeah. They lit up the power play. Every time they were on the ice, it seemed to me they were controlling the game.
Yeah, like it was kind of I was like, okay, he liked the two young guys on the back end.
He liked Dermott and Rosen.
Yeah.
And I thought Dermott, he did stick out to me last night. I thought Travis Dermott looked pretty good.
He looked like Carlo Koliakovo as a youngster.
Ooh, a young Carlo.
Very good comparison.
Skilled kid, a left-handed shot, had some offensive ability, can move out there. He reminded me a lot of that. That's young Coco.
Yeah, I like that comparison.
Coco's a friend of the show. At some point, we will have to cold call him. He's in Europe,
I think he's over in Europe now. He's trying to make the Olympic team.
Good for him.
I hope he makes it. I think he'd have a very good shot at making it at this point. So we'll get him on the line throughout the year for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
But that's an interesting comparison is Koliakovo, because they both played for Erie. Not that matters in terms of how they play, but they both were Erie Otters coming out, and you know, stocky kind of kids, can skate, can make a pass, not overly flashy.
Coco had the injury bug. Like, he got hit every chance. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, and you hope that Dermott obviously doesn't fall to the same issues throughout his career. But I thought Dermott played well. I think it was interesting that Babcock pointed out his quality play last night. He's got a shot. Someone's playing on that third pairing. I mean, in reality, they just do not have anything that's locked in. Like, it's not Marinson, it's not Dermott, it's not Rosen. None of these guys have defined anything yet.
Yeah.
So over the next 2 weeks, we will find out who's going to be in Winnipeg opening night on the third pairing. I mean, the big story that came out of the game was the new face-off rule.
Garbage.
It's garbage.
Garbage. Hey, what is this, the Quebec Pee Wee Tournament?
And I don't mind that.
That's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, but that's how the league does it. You know they're going to call every little thing, and then guess what happens? During the regular season, they'll call a little bit. And
why don't they try to fix the guy going in the corner, going 100 miles an hour, smashing another guy's head into the boards?
Hitting from behind, the headshots, all of that, the slashing on the hands.
That's fine. But this face-off rule is completely garbage. Centerman and Pooley can I took a lot of draws in the NHL, too. Getting down there, battling, it's part of the game. It's part of the battle. And to take that out, it's embarrassing.
You know what I thought of last night? I thought of you melting down. I thought of Brian Hayes melting down on his couch. The Leafs are in a conference final. It's a 1-1 game. And whoever, Dominic Moore, is in his own zone, and he takes one of those penalties. Like, a linesman makes a hero call, and they lose on that penalty kill.
I can already picture it happening.
But that's all I could think of last night. Just like I thought of the goaltender interference rule was going to cost, you know, somebody something, here it is this year. And I know they cracked down on it early, and then the guys get it into their system. And I don't mind them trying things. It's just
the idea makes sense. Make everything fair. But the NHL way too often strives for perfection when it's not possible.
Right.
Like the offside rule and the offside review that was implemented a year ago is a perfect example. And now this stupid new face-off rule. And what the NHL has developed a reputation of doing is targeting an issue that not one fan cares about.
That's so true.
Like, this is a business. The fans determine how well your business is working. Not one fan, not one on earth, sat there this offseason and said, I've had it with the face-offs, I've had it with the guys toe being over the line, and if they don't change it, I'm going to give up my season tickets. they always do this stuff. The review last year with the onside and offside stuff is another perfect example. No one pays money to focus on whether or not a guy's offside by a millimeter. Nobody pays money for that. Nobody pays money. Nobody tunes in on TV or radio to find out if the face-off was fair on both sides. Right. Face-offs are a necessary evil to get the play going again. Nobody cares. Focus on skating, playmaking, goal scoring, hitting,
and
fighting,
safety.
And safety.
Yes.
That's your sport in a nutshell. Hockey is already too difficult to understand. I don't think we acknowledge that enough because this is our life. We grew up playing it. We've known it so well. I mean, they do line changes on the fly. What other sport does that? Like, if you don't really know the sport, you're like, wait a minute, that was offside, that was icing, too many men, why is there only four guys on the ice? Why is that guy in the penalty box? It's a confusing sport, and now you've added another confusing element to it for no reason.
I agree.
It is absolutely ridiculous that they would put this in play. Who cares about face-offs?
Possibly one of your top five best rants ever.
Yes.
And if that little spiel is not on SportsCenter, this company is doing you and us a disservice.
It's the perfect rant because you're bang on. I don't know of anybody that would disagree with you. Not one person.
Who goes to the rink and is like, I just want to see some fair face-offs tonight.
If any one of us three, I wasn't aware of this face-off thing coming into the game.
I was.
Okay. Well, me and you, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so if me I was and you on a were, conference call.
We're sitting with someone from Australia that's never seen hockey before, and they said, what just happened there? You would say, I have no idea. And if they say, why did it happen? You would say, I have no idea. It's completely ludicrous.
It is.
Well,
how was this a problem that they felt they had to tackle?
Garbage. This competition committee.
They never think about what fans are really focused on. It's way too inside the game. It's GMs who are so invested, and I get it, but all they think of is their own situation. They don't think about what fans are really paying to see.
Yeah.
Who cares about the face-off? Make it as even as possible. If there's a guy being a donkey, throw him out.
Yeah.
But drop the puck and let's go.
The linesmen are really good in the NHL. Like, I don't know if they get enough credit, like how good and sharp they are. And
After going through this process and seeing the backlash and seeing the results through preseason, would they ever use their brains and say, this is not working, it's not for us?
I think call an audible and say, sorry, we screwed that one up. I think they will. But they won't make an announcement of it. It'll just go away.
Right.
Like, I think there's things that just kind of fade into the background as the season goes on. And I mean, Ray talked about it yesterday. We didn't get too much into it. But, like, all we've been talking about is smaller goalie gear. All of a sudden, those conversations kind of gone away. You know, and it's 2 years later. And, like, eventually it should happen, and it's going to happen. But it gets back to what Brian says. What's best for the game? So last night, and I knew this going in, it was warned on a conference call the other day. The two things the league is cracking down on in exhibition and going to be really hard on, face-offs and slashing. What were the penalties last night? Slashing, 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 face-off, face-off. Like, that's all it was.
Well, the slashing...
I agree with the slashing.
Slashing will be very difficult for them to hold that standard. And for them to keep it up. That'll be very difficult for them to do. But there is, again, a fan element to the slashing because you don't want your favorite players to get injured via slash.
I don't want 34 with a broken finger.
I don't want to see that happen. So you can sell that to me as a fan, why it makes sense to crack down on this. And it's a fairly simple answer. Do you like seeing your favorite players play? Well, if we keep this up, there's a chance they're not going to play because they have the puck all the time and they're getting slashed too much.
Right.
I can get it. From that standpoint, I don't necessarily believe they're going to fully eradicate the issue. I'll believe that when I see it.
I think if you overcall it, it's almost like you train the guys, okay, hey, I'm going to get called, and then guys naturally will dial it back. All I saw last night was commentary out of Edmonton and Calgary. They had split squad games.
Squid squads.
They had split squad games.
Hazy B.
And all the narrative was, here we got slashing penalties left and right. McDavid drew a couple. which is fine. I mean, you don't want McDavid being slashed. You don't want Goudreau being slashed. I think there was an example of when he broke his finger
last
20
year. It
times
happened.
That he got
Brian
slashed.
Brian Burke went on that rant about it. Actually, so no, I think Burke was okay with the slashing now that I think about it.
Yeah, I think we interviewed him and he said it'll sort itself out.
Part of the game, it happens now that I think about it.
But I think teams are looking at, and organizations and fans are looking at that and saying, that's a realistic problem, the slashing in the league. Faceoffs, other than the faceoff men, centermen, they're the only ones complaining about the cheating. Maybe the ref or the coaches are.
But they're not complaining because they know what goes around comes around.
Right.
Right? Like, who's... There's no one that, in this league, that takes draws that doesn't cheat from time to time.
Right.
It happens.
As soon as they painted the lines years back, and they're like, you gotta have your feet in these lines, it lasted a month, and guys, refs didn't give a crap, and players didn't care either. Well, and they just did whatever they wanted.
And there was an example on the Brown call last night that the... I can't remember the Sens center, but... He had his foot over the line.
Yeah, Zach Smith.
It was Smith.
Smith actually thought he was getting clipped.
Because the lineman can only look, he's got to focus on one guy or the other. So it's too complicated. No fan wants it. No fan cares about face-offs. I mean, drop the puck and let's get rolling.
It's a no guy.
It's a strong no guy. The Leafs are back in action tonight. You can hear it on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4 tonight.
Yeah.
So, Doug, you're on the panel. Noodles, you're on Jay and Dan tonight.
I'm on THN Jay and Dan, so I'll be working lots.
You guys have busy evenings, so we'll keep looking back in the game last night, tee up the game tonight. Jay's back in action tonight at home, the final homestand of Jose Bautista's Blue Jay career. You have to believe this is it. Six more games in the
Dome. A new segment called Fake News, hot takes after a Leaf game, whether they're real or fake news.
Okay. You are fake news.
We'll get to that as well. We got to break down what happened that Monday night, or Eli Manning.
He gets run over more than anybody.
He gets obliterated every time I watch him play.
I couldn't believe he got up from that. The one, he jumped in the pocket, he threw it, and he got mowed over.
He's never missed a game. Like, he's like his older brother. Like, Peyton was the same way until he had the neck surgery.
Well, let's see if this coach has any jam for real. You want to go out and spout off like that after the game saying... They were saying, is a possible replacement for Eli Manning next game? He's like, we'll look at everything. Really? Will you?
We'll let you hear what Ben McAdoo had to say last night. You talk about a guy who just doesn't feel like he's got what it takes to
Ronnie
be a head coach.
Ronnie Rolston, NFL version.
He's got the gardening gloves on at practice in New York. So we'll let you hear what Ben McAdoo had to say about Eli. And the final homestand of the season for the Jays. Is this it for Bautista? If so, what happens over the next 6 nights? Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Despacito, quiero respirar tu cuello despacito. Deja que te diga cosas al oído, para que te acuerdes si no estás conmigo. Despacito, quiero respirar tu. All right, Ray's back around 5 p.m. I feel like Ray's going to like this new face-off rule, and then we're going to have our first big blow-up of the year.
No.
I can already picture it happening.
Well, he's a centerman. And he probably hated it, but I guarantee you Ray cheated too. Like,
if he doesn't say he hates it,
what, are you suspending?
He's off the show.
You're suspending him from the show for a week?
What about this? If he says he likes it, we hang up.
You're not hanging up on him.
Like a straight drop.
Like a straight drop?
You're
like,
out.
We'll just, I'll go like this. And then you hang up.
Okay. Well, it would serve him right. I mean, his phone has been horrible so many times in past years. Maybe finally there's some technical difficulties on our end.
Yeah.
We could pull that off. And Bob McKenzie in studio at 6:20 this afternoon. Bobby Mack back in the rotation.
See what he likes about
that. You going to challenge Bobby Mack on this, too?
No.
You throw him out of the studio if he likes this new rule?
No.
For those of you that aren't aware of the new rule, a couple people texting and tweeting in being like, can you explain it? Basically, the two little lines that you're supposed to have your feet behind, if you cross over them, the first guy, the centerman that's at the dock, gets tossed. That's right. Your warning. If the second guy comes in and violates that rule,
it's a penalty.
And it happened a few times already last night. I would assume it's going to happen again tonight league-wide. But that's the rule. We'll get more into it later this afternoon. We'll see what Ray had to think about last night's game by the Leafs, what he expects out of Marlowe making his debut tonight. But Eli Manning got blown up multiple times last night, including post-game by his head coach. We'll let you hear that in 2 minutes. So I'm watching Eli Manning just get destroyed last night. Like, that offensive line for the Giants is brutal. And they don't have a run game, so there's no deception. Like, the play action, last night the Lions are like, go ahead, you're not running the ball. I know exactly what you're going to try to do. And the Giants' offense has been terrible through 2 weeks, and they had high expectations this year. They got a lot of talent. They're a good defense. Eli's won 2 Super Bowls. They've got weapons in Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, but no offensive line, no run game, and it has haunted them through 2 weeks. And I tweeted out that I can't remember watching a guy week in, week out get obliterated the way Eli does. Like, I'm not talking an accumulation of hits. I'm not talking the amount of sacks. I'm talking, oh my God.
Is he getting up?
There's no way that guy's getting up.
He got rinsed.
I've seen Cam take big hits, but a lot of times Newton is on the run and he's almost seeking contact. I've seen Roethlisberger take hits because he sits in the pocket and he just waits for it almost, and he's willing to grind it out. Manning, it's like he would hit the deck if he knew the guy was coming, but he doesn't know it's coming, and he just gets pulverized.
And he's one of those athletes, like, we're talking about a guy that's got 2 Super Bowl MVPs. Am I correct?
2 Super Bowls. I believe he had the MVP in both.
But he's one of those guys where he kind of ho-hums everything. He's, you know, wasn't very good. Like, he never says...
He looks casual. He's a very casual person.
Like, he doesn't have... Not even close to that Tom Brady intensity. He's just kind of ho-humming. He must drive people in New York crazy.
Well, times. And that's the question. Like, the past couple of years, early in the seasons... The Packers have struggled a little bit. And remember, Aaron Rodgers went on the radio and said, relax. Like, he spelt it out. R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
Yeah.
And everyone in Green Bay was like, yeah, you're right.
See,
you'll figure it out.
From New York would be looking for something like that from Eli Manning, though.
But do you believe he can do it? That's the difference.
No, and it would be so disingenuous if he even attempted to do it.
Exactly. Brady, a few years ago, they came out of the gate struggling, and people were like, what's up with this guy?
Right.
And he said, relax, I got it. And he got it, and I believe they went to the Super Bowl and either won it that year or certainly got there.
Right.
Rodgers, the past 2 years, the Packers have struggled, and he's been like, chill, I got it, I'm Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
If Eli can't do it, because no one would actually believe that he will have it under control. And he's a borderline Hall of Fame guy. He may even be a lock. He may get in. I mean, first overall pick, he's been around for a long time, 2 Super Bowls, 2 MVPs. Big market in New York, but I don't trust that Eli is the kind of guy who's going to roll into a huddle next week and be like, I'm guaranteeing a win. Like, he's not going Joe Namath and guaranteeing anything. And then you've got his coach, Ben McAdoo, who made some big mistakes last night. Seems like a mediocre coach at best. Essentially throwing him under the bus last night. Here's what he had to say postgame about Eli.
A sloppy quarterback play. Quarterback and the center need to be on the same page there. We got to get the ball snapped.
Why did you call a timeout?
Because we have a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of football. I expect us to get the ball snapped.
How would you assess Eli's play role?
Usually the clock goes from 3-2-1-0. Once it hits zero, they look at the ball, look at the clock. Usually have a tick once it hits zero to get the ball snapped.
Sloppy quarterback play. And listen, Eli has not played particularly well, but that offensive line has been brutal.
Yeah, it's...
And he's getting blown up. It seems like he's under pressure every time they snap the ball, and you just don't see that too often, like a guy taking a run at his quarterback.
Two games in,
when you have not necessarily been working an unblemished resume yourself, Ben McAdoo.
You're really
Ben McAdoo.
With your new haircut.
That's the Ronnie Rolston. He's not outlasting Eli.
No, he's not.
That's the thing, yeah. What he's doing is separating himself from the quarterback already.
Kind of feels that way.
Yeah, and the quarterback's going to go to hell with you.
Yeah. Who do you think Odell Beckham Jr. is going to ride with? Eli or Ben McAdoo? Like, as much as Eli does have
that
nonchalant
begs a bigger
vibe.
Question. What the hell are the New York Giants, who just let go Tom Coughlin?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you go to Ben McAdoo as that replacement? That is insane.
It's the cliche move of cliche moves. You had a hard-ass, old-school guy. We got to go new guy that no one's really heard of before and give him an opportunity. It happens all the time. Like, the next Leaf coach will be some 34-year-old out of the American Hockey League. Because Babcock will run his course, and it'll be too old school, too tough, too this, that, or the other. And that's just, it's so obvious and predictable. Teams do it all the time in pro sports.
Yeah, Columbus needed somebody to come in and kick some ass. They had Todd Richards, really nice guy, really good coach.
Bring in Tortorella.
Here's Torts.
And guess who the next guy will be? A 35-year-old soft-spoken guy from the A.
Yeah.
And because they'll need a change of pace. And I just think that way of doing things is a thing of the past around here. It always happens that way. Jay's back in town tonight. Wins and losses obviously don't mean anything. But six more home games for Bautista. And regardless of how you feel about the guy, he has supplied this market with more water cooler moments and conversations than any other Jay in the past 10 or 15 years, maybe any other athlete in the city. Like, game 5 home run in the 7th inning, getting popped by Odor, showing up day 1 of spring training and talking about
market shares
and stock prices, 54 home runs, team record. I mean, this guy has been a soap opera in and of itself. And this is going to be it. And the problem is the team will not acknowledge that this is it because he still has options on his contract. So they can't come out and be like, hey, you're done. Like,
still going to look at this as an option going in the next. That's not happening.
It's not happening, but they're not going to say it publicly while he's still playing.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going to come out and be like, oh, we know that we have the option to let him walk, and we're definitely going to do that. They're not going to embarrass him like that while he's still playing for the team.
$1,000 bet. They let him walk.
Oh, it's the lock of the century. You cannot bring him back. He's done.
That's right.
He is done.
I wanted to hear lock of the century.
It's a lock. It's a $20 million lock because that's what the option is for, give or take. He's done. I didn't see this coming. I was willing to give him another chance. Last year, I thought that was more injury-related. He's got 157 or 158 strikeouts. He's going to finish with the team record for an individual season for strikeouts.
Well, do you pull him out? You pull him out of the...
Nah, there's too many games left. He's going to blow past it this week. He had 4 over the weekend against Minnesota. Like, he's going to blow past the record. He'll be past it within the next 72 hours. So once it's over, it's gone. They're not going to acknowledge it. They're not going to put it up on the Jumbotron. Hey, everybody, we got a new team record holder.
New Serrano.
Joey Batts with 160 Ks this season.
You don't want to see him go out like that, but, I mean, it's just been a down year for the Jays.
For everybody.
Other than Strosho, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Justin Smoke. But I think it's on Gibbons to do something for him this weekend. They got the Royals in town for 3, then the Yankees for 3. And I don't know what you do. I don't know if you lead them off. I don't know if you make a mid-inning defensive substitution so that there's some sort of an acknowledgement. But I think the elephant in the room is he's not coming back. This is it. And he's an all-time great Jay. And he's going out...
Do you
in
think
flames,
that they would
and the
do
team's
that,
going out in flames.
I guess that's my question then. If you want to not let him know, even though he knows, wouldn't you just let it play out? But now if you actually acknowledge him, you as an organization are saying, elephant in the room,
you're done. We're not picking up the option.
You're
gone.
Type of thing.
But I do think there's a separation between the team doing it, like on a Jumbotron, like, hey, that came down from the top, Shapiro saying, everyone give him a standing O, thanks for a great run, and Gibbons doing it in a way where, you know, maybe he doesn't start on Sunday, and then they pinch hit him in the 9th.
Right.
So he gets up there for one final at bat. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
you're
fair.
Going up.
Yeah.
Get your standing O, get your wave. It's the last time as a Blue Jay at the Rogers Center. I think Gibbons can separate himself from the organization. I think Gibbons can acknowledge it without Shapiro and Atkins.
That's fair. Yep. It's a good point.
You know, putting them in a position where they're admitting publicly before they have to that he's not coming back. But you would think, I mean, it's too bad that the team is what it is, and it's coinciding with the Leaf buzz that everyone's buzzing about the Leafs. And you know, tonight's an interesting night. The Jays are playing and the Leafs are playing a preseason game. If you had the option at tickets for one, which one would you take? I think a lot of people would probably take the Leafs.
I'd take the Leafs right now, but
they're both meaningless games, but at least the Leafs are fresh and they're going into what hopefully is a positive season. The Jays are just playing it out.
And the crowd represents that now. I don't know if they're going to be drawing massive amounts of people there.
No, they won't. The Yankees on the weekend will get because it's Yankee fans will show up. It's the final weekend set of the season at the Rogers Center. They'll do 30,000 plus on the weekend.
If you had tickets, would you go?
I would, again, to see the Bautista, like the finale of Bautista.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Yankees, now you get to see Aaron Judge, you get to see Gary Sanchez. They're a pretty good, young, exciting team to watch as well. I probably would. But would I seek out tickets right now? I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would buy tickets. And I don't think I'd buy tickets to see a Leaf preseason game either, quite frankly.
Yeah.
They're both meaningless. I mean, what do you really...
I'd like to see them.
What are you spending money on?
Well, just to go and check things out. I think I would go to either or, but to your point, I get, don't spend the money or whatever, but I think I would go.
To what? Which one? Both?
If I had an opportunity, I think I would go see the Joey Bats situation. And you always want to check. For me, the battle's in camp. I want to see the Leafs' back end. I want to see, you know, what Babcock has going there with some of his young guys, his matchups. Obviously, big storyline going in tonight, Patrick Marleau. Like you said, there's all eyes are on Patrick Marleau.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of pressure
making
on
his preseason debut at the ACC.
He's played 1,493 NHL games, and I guarantee tonight is an exhibition game, and it must feel a little bit different. All that time in San Jose and coming to Toronto from there, and I can understand playing 10 years in Carolina and coming here, that's just, it's a different vibe.
Almost 1,500 games.
In San Jose, he could have played an exhibition game with no pants on and no jersey on.
And not been asked a question ever.
And here, like you say, 1,500 games, and there's probably a layer that's got a little bit of butterflies.
Well, look at that line. Like, no one cares about Kadri and Komarov. We know what they are. We know what they're going to do. And
yeah,
it's more, how does Marleau look?
Patty's he's a really good player.
Yeah, it'll really be fun to see how he acclimates himself to that line and to the team, but ultimately it's a preseason game. If they win or lose, it doesn't matter. Just
you're right.
Knock some rust off, get out there, feel comfortable.
I'd rather that they
gear up for opening night.
3-3, or how many games are they? Seven? Is it? I think it's
7 or 8 anyway.
Right down 500. You don't want to go 0-7, or you don't want to go 7-0.
Yeah. They'll win tonight. Like, they got smoked last night. Ottawa's B team's here tonight.
Yeah.
Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes. Bobby Mack back on the show. Robert Klemko from SI.com on week 2 in the NFL. We start looking ahead to week 3 as well. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. Yeah! Not sure I'm buying this. Connor tweeting in saying, come on, Hayes. I traveled from Ottawa to see the game tonight. I'll be back into work tomorrow morning. Preseason is great.
That's a veteran move.
From Ottawa?
Yeah, why didn't you go to the game last night?
Maybe he did. Maybe he's that big of a Leaf fan that he's going both nights. You got to give props to people who travel. Let's not forget that maybe tickets aren't available. And
there were tickets available last night in Ottawa.
You're right, but I'm saying at the ACC that are more economical.
Well, maybe during the regular season, it may be tough. I guess get your pops in tonight, but...
Right,
hey, listen,
maybe
to each their own.
Get a good seat tonight.
Oh yeah,
for a reasonable price. Where during the regular season you're not going to be able to. So I think that's a veteran man we're dealing with there.
On a Tuesday night, just putting in time in downtown Toronto.
I like that.
A couple people tweeting in saying that the Saturday and Sunday Jays games are sold out. So I would assume a lot of that was before the year. Final couple of games against the Yankees. You were hopeful back in the winter time that these were going to be meaningful big games, sure, fighting for, you know, top spot in the AL East or a wild card spot, and clearly that's not the case. But the Yankees are an interesting team. You get a lot of Yankee fans that show up for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I guess you're going to get to see Bautista's final couple of games as a Blue Jay. We'll get back into that later in the afternoon. We'll get into what went down in the Giants-Lions game last night. Matt Stafford got paid, but he's looked good through 2 weeks. You know, after that contract, if he came out playing horribly, that would be a big story. But he's looked very good. And back into the Leafs preseason action last night and what we can expect tonight. Ray Ferraro kicks off the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.